Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 16th day of August 2023. Before I introduce my guest, I have a very urgent prayer request, and that is for my brother Andy. Many of you who listen to this program regularly may have heard me make on-air prayer requests for him. He resides in a local nursing home here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Ever since he was left completely paralyzed on his left side after a major stroke a number of years ago. And he had a recent bout with pneumonia, which by God's grace and mercy, he appears to have conquered. But a new development has been brought to light that is life-threatening for my brother. He has a blood contamination known as sepsis, which is deadly, and he went to the hospital 2 nights ago and demanded to be returned to the nursing home against the doctor's insistence. They nonetheless obliged his demand, and he is back at the nursing home, which is a lot less safe place to be in his condition. I was visiting him today trying to convince him of the seriousness error of his decision. And I was basically speaking to deaf ears. And thankfully, the conversation was interrupted by a nurse who was beginning the intravenous antibiotic session that he was urgently in need of. So I will keep you updated on to his health, and I would plead with you to please pray for my brother Andy. I am not at peace with his standing before God. I'm not at peace with his profession of faith in Christ. So I would ask of you also, and perhaps first and foremost, that you pray for his salvation above everything. But God willing, I will have a praise report for you in the near future. Time will only tell what our sovereign Lord has in store for my brother. So thank you all for praying, and I know I can count on my listeners, as you have always revealed to me through the hundreds of emails and responses to social media posts and so on, that you are, many of you are rallying behind me in prayer through not only this situation, but through others I've experienced in the past. But I want to thank you all from the very depths of my heart. But today we have as a returning guest, Reverend Evan McClanahan, who is moderator and occasional participant in one of the only continuously operating debate series in the country, the First Word Debate Series at First Lutheran. He is a writer for The Everyman and The Federalist and pastor of the First Lutheran Church of Houston, Texas. Today we're going to be addressing the very controversial theme, Worship Wars. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Evan McClanahan.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here. Once again, we had so much fun last time. We did a two for one.
Yes.
So I'm going to try to talk faster this time so I don't steal your valuable airtime, and we'll get it done in one go round, one shot.
I hope that is not a revelation that you hate coming on this show.
No, not at all. Like I said,
I hope this is not like a Band-Aid treatment. Let me rip this off like a Band-Aid and get it over with.
No, 100% not. Like I said, I'm very honored to be here. I just I don't want to take up any more of your precious time than any of my thoughts warrant. But I'm looking forward to the talk today, and hopefully we'll get some listener feedback as well. I'll try to ask some questions along the way that I'd be curious to know what your thoughts are on. So it's not just going to be me talking for sure, but definitely something. This is definitely something I thought about a lot. And actually, the one debate that we hosted at our church that I participated in, other than as a moderator, was on this question. A friend of mine, Clinton Wilcox, and I did have a formal debate on kind of contemporary worship or, I don't know, true Christian worship or something to that effect. And so I'm actually stealing, I don't know if it's theft if you're stealing from yourself, but I'm kind of lifting some of the same material with some kind of updated thoughts, because as time goes on, we do have, we do have some data. We have more data coming in, right, on kind of the state of the church. And in fact, we're in kind of the post-COVID era, if you will, right? But if people wanted to see that, it's somewhere out there on YouTube on the First Lutheran Debate YouTube channel or the First Lutheran channel. I don't know. Anyway, something to think about.
Well, since it's been a little bit, not too long, but a little bit since you've been on the program, why don't you remind our listeners about First Lutheran Church of Houston, Texas?
Yeah, First Lutheran's goes back to the 1840s in Houston, which for your East Coasters, I know that's like a young church, but for those of us in Texas, it's pretty old. That's when the Germans started to come up through the Gulf of Mexico. So a lot of them stopped in Galveston, but a few kept on to Houston, and so we are a German immigrant church and gone through a lot of interesting denominational changes. Became Lutheran again after basically becoming independent for a number of years in 2001, and that was in the very, very wasn't quite so crazy at the time, but it became obviously kind of nutty, which was the ELCA. We left that 2011, and we are a traditional church pretty much in every sense of the word. Our worship is, in fact, I'm holding right here, our LVW, our 1978 hymnal, and there have been a few publishing houses that have tried to update it, and I don't think there's really much out there that's better quite yet. It's not perfect by any means, but we still use a hymnal, no screens, no rock band. We had a fire in 2011. We used that insurance money to get a brand new pipe organ. We're very committed, to these traditions. But we do, outreach. We have these debates. We do outreach to college students. I'm part of Theology on Tap, which is kind of an informal kind of debate, evangelism, apologetics ministry. We have a preschool. I like to think that when it comes to worship, we hold on to traditions that have value that I'll be explaining here in this conversation. But we do a number of things to do outreach, and next time we talk in a couple of weeks, I'll be actually talking about that a little bit, kind of a vision for the church, a different vision. Those words are controversial, but kind of a different vision for where the church is going to need to end up, being basically a wholesale community participant rather than just a place people show up to worship. But when they show up to worship, you need to do it. Let's just say there are better ways to do it than others. So.
Well, I have just, and believe it or not, this just came out of, popped into my head right now. I have a suggestion for a motto for your Theology on Tap. How about all stout, no suds?
I like that. I'm pitching that. I'll give you credit, though. So, actually, that'd be great for merch, with the Theology on Tap logo, yeah. All stout. I love that. It's great. Yep.
And if anybody wants more information about this fine congregation, go to a new pair of glasses. FLHouston.org, FLHouston.org. L, as always, when it's in lowercase, looks like an I when you have bad vision especially. So it's FLHouston.org, and this is a conservative confessional Lutheran church, although the denomination does accept or believe in the ordination of women. That is not a compulsory thing for individual congregations, am I right?
That is correct, and as I've said before, I would be shocked if you know, that were ever to happen at my church, my congregation. But if it did, it would be long after I was gone. So, yeah, that's the reality.
Now, tell us about the debates coming up next year with Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who is a dear friend.
Yes. Yeah, I'm glad you asked, because actually today I put tickets on sale and put post on my personal Facebook page. I'll shoot an email out to my debate list and all that. So I've got three nailed down. One is in process due to some scheduling difficulties. One may not happen early next year. But so I've got two with Dr. James White and Trent Horn of Catholic Answers. The first is on Sola Scriptura. And as I'm saying, you haven't heard it all before. There are some new arguments. Of course, yes. If you listen to Dr. White's, podcast,
yes.
He's pulling his apart already. So you're going to kind of get a preview. But if you want to see them talk about it directly to one another with ample cross-examination, I've got 20 minutes each of cross-examination in the contract. So we're going to have lots of cross-examination. And so it's on Sola Scriptura. So like I said, there are new arguments coming out. And
New arguments from Trent Horn, not Dr. White.
Yes. Thank you.
Ironically, aren't they Protestant arguments or arguments from a Protestant?
Yes, apparently he's using a book written by a Protestant who I guess doesn't believe that Paul even wrote Second Timothy, and yet they're looking at the God breathed Theonoustos.
Right.
That's the Greek word, Theonoustos, and so Trent Horn is kind of offering a different translation from God breathed, which seems to be the literal meaning of that phrase. And so therefore it's a debate ultimately about the nature of Scripture. And so what you don't want to see happen, even among our Catholic friends, is a denigration of Scripture to get away from the authority of Scripture,
right?
I mean, even if you've got like a high value of Scripture and a high value of tradition, hey, at least you got high value of both. Maybe we can work with that in some way. I mean, there's more to debate, but if you've got to lower the Scripture and start talking about its ontological nature being in some way decreased, maybe it's not God-breathed after all, et cetera, well, that's a problem. So they're going to be pulling that apart. I think it'll be really interesting. And then the doctrine of purgatory. Yes, again, in fact, I don't know if you hosted one of his purgatory debates.
Yes, I did. The most infamous one with Peter Stravinskas. That was where an audience member during the Q&A, tongue-in-cheek, it was a Protestant audience member who tongue-in-cheek asked Peter Stravinskas, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the exact transcript of the debate in front of me, but the audience member said, I heard you can lessen your time in purgatory by giving a donation to the Catholic Church. If that's true, who do I make the check out to and how much? And after uproarious laughter occurred in the audience, Stravinskas answered, hey, pay now or pay later. And I think that Roman Catholics in the audience, or at least many of them, were shocked by that. I'm just assuming.
Yeah,
that.
Wow.
There was an eerie silence and some moans.
Wow.
I mean, the moans may have been all from Protestants, but I don't think that every Catholic was happy with that kind of a glib, but very revealing answer.
Yeah, and I'll say, I like Trent Horn. I mean, he has a YouTube channel that's doing pretty well and a podcast. He just did a 3-hour debate with a kind of a left-wing influencer named Destiny on a kind of popular podcast among the young folks called Whatever. I actually hope to do a review of that debate on my podcast, because I think there are some real I mean, I think he did an okay job. I think there's some real problems with it, but I give him credit. He seems like a nice enough guy, and I think Dr. White's a nice guy, and I think they'll they're both very serious about what they believe. And purgatory, it gets to gospel issues. I mean, for sure. Sufficiency of the sacrifice of Christ.
Exactly.
So it's right there. And I mean, so it's kind of exciting, really, to get back to these Reformation debates. It's living history. So I'm really excited about that. I mean, I cut my teeth when I got into apologetics. Kind of William Lane Craig and then, Dr. James White on YouTube, that's kind of, and it was a lot of these Catholic debates, as I said on the previous show that some of which you were hosting. So, I just was shocked that anyone was still debating those topics. I kind of thought they were in some way settled or something. But Dr. White does a great job of bringing them to the fore. And then after that, because as you all know, if you're fans of Dr. White, he drives to his various locations. On his way back through Houston, so a couple weeks later, March 9th, Saturday, March 9th, we've got a debate with Dale Tuggy of the Unitarian Christian Alliance. And that's going to be a classic Trinitarian Unitarian debate. The question is Jesus Yahweh? And the contract is signed. We're good to go. So the fourth debate, there, I think everyone agrees on the topic, but literally an hour ago, I was going back and forth with some emails, and I don't think we've got a date that works for all parties. So we're going to see what we can do. But if that is pulled together, it would be on John 6. And if you're a listener to, again, Alpha and Omega's podcast or The Dividing Line, you know exactly what I'm talking about, but I'm not going to be the one to name names. So we'll see what we can pull together.
And while you're at it, or while we're at it, I might as well throw in a plug for a debate that I have arranged that's coming up very soon. This is a debate I arranged for my friends at the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. It is a part of a 3-day conference where Dr. White is the keynote speaker. Friday, September 15th through Sunday, September 17th in Manheim, Pennsylvania, which is Lancaster County. The theme of the conference is the gospel at war, and Dr. White will be joined by other speakers who take different elements of how the gospel is at war with specific things in our world that involve both the church itself and things going on in society. But on Saturday, September 16th, from 3:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., Dr. White will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles. And Dr. Coles identifies as a gay Christian. And the theme of the debate is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? And if you want to register for that conference and debate, go to futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org. Register as quickly as possible so that you get the best price possible. And you'll be hearing more about that. But we are going to be discussing, when we return from our first commercial break, the theme of worship wars. And if anybody would like to join us with a question of your own for Reverend Evan McClanahan, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you vehemently disagree with the style of worship that takes place in your own church. Perhaps you're even the pastor, and you have those complaints. But obviously don't want to draw attention to your identity at this point. We understand that. But if it's a general question, please give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence. We'll be right back with Pastor Evan right after these messages. Please do not go away.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday, the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering a mind-blowing opportunity to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Anybody in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience who purchases jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com valued at $100 or more, whether it be something that they already have in stock in the form of jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a customized piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, like turning your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your seminary logo, your denomination logo. Perhaps you want to turn, if you're a Lutheran listening, or just a person listening who considers Martin Luther one of their great heroes of the faith, as many people do outside of Lutheranism. If you want to have Luther's rose turned into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or anything else that your imagination and creativity can conjure up, RoyalDiadem.com will take what's in your brain and turn it into a physical piece of jewelry that will blow your mind. I've seen firsthand the mastery that they have over custom designing jewelry, and you are involved in every single step of the customization process, which guarantees that the jewelry comes out exactly the way you want it to. No matter where in the world you live, through the miracle of computer software, you will see every phase of the process as they design and create your jewelry, where you are able to give your input and you're able to say, hey, you know, I love this, but I hate this. Hey, can you make this larger and make that smaller? Can you change the color of this stone? And on and on. And then finally, after they're finished going through that process, they mail you a wax prototype, three-dimensional wax prototype that you can hold in your hand and flip and turn in every angle to see what it will look like. And then when you give your final approval is when you get the final casted product, the final jewelry product that they create. And I know that you are going to love whatever they do for you. If you have any interest in buying jewelry for yourself or someone you love, please do it soon at RoyalDiadem.com, because I have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer where we get 100% of the profits from any sale to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener as long as they mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when purchasing their jewelry. So go to royaldiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with our guest, and his name is Pastor Evan McClanahan, pastor of First Lutheran Church of Houston, Texas, and we are discussing worship wars. And I'm assuming, although I could be wrong, that this is intended to be a comparison and contrast between what has become known as traditional worship and contemporary worship. Am I right?
Yeah, I think so. But I even want to go a little bit deeper and kind of try to ask some foundational questions about, you know, what worship is, what it's, you know, what it's trying to accomplish.
Yeah, we'll start with
you know,
that.
Who is God? You know, who is this God that we're worshiping? So let me. It's a big topic, obviously. I don't know. It's not as debated as much as it used to be when the contemporary scene was kind of rolling on, you know, onto the scene, I guess. And you know, in the 90s and 2000s, now that's the mainstream. Now we're the weirdos. You know, now the pastor that wears a robe and a stole, and you know, we sing out of a hymn. We don't have screens. You know, that's definitely the minority point of view now. But at one point, we were kind of the majority, but I do want to, you know, challenge, you know, some basic notions that just because something old, it's good, or just because something is new, it's bad. The question really is, what are we trying to do? So let me just ask some questions to kind of get the ball rolling here. CCM, contemporary Christian music, it's been around for, I don't know, about 40 years or so. And part of the reason for CCM was to offer, well, we were told, it's right there in the name, a contemporary voice to the church, right? To reach the unchurched, right? These people, all these people that weren't going to church because church was stodgy and old-fashioned and everything else. And so CCM was going to grow the kingdom or help grow the kingdom by reaching those who would not or could not be reached by old-fashioned worship with, you know, vestments and organs and choirs and all of that. Okay. So, fine. Sounds good. So here's, I guess, a question. We've been doing it long enough. You know, the data's in, right? So my question to the audience would be, what's exactly the state of American Christianity today? To also, to what degree are CCM and the seeker-sensitive model or the attractional model or the church growth movement or the charismatic movement one and the same thing? You know, those things, after a while, they kind of get hard to pull apart. And so those are realities, though, that we've got to pull apart, you know, because it could be that, you know, some contemporary music is just fine. But if it has the goal of, you know, the church growth movement, those are not necessarily good goals. Likewise, there's issues in the charismatic movement, and yet they use contemporary music. So anyway, so more questions for the audience. What's the purpose of worship? You know, what is it for? Now, you might think that's kind of an easy series of questions, but in fact, it's not. Christians do not agree on what worship even is or who it's for. I mean, just to give you a little taste, is worship for Christians or is it for non-Christians? I was at a church conference just last week, and one of our speakers in our tradition, which is a pretty, you know, fairly traditional conservative, you know, Lutheran tradition, was that, how was it said exactly? Basically, the church is the only organization founded for the sake of others, something to that extent. And on the one hand, that's kind of a pious sounding thing, but on the other hand, it's just not true. I mean, what about when Jesus says to Peter, feed my sheep? Is that not for the members of a church? So I think you can, as a church, you can have an outward and an inward focus. That's okay. And too much of one or the other is a bad thing. But if you're, if worship is not for Christians, then you're going to have the results that I think are pretty clear, which is it's a mile wide, but an inch deep. A few more questions. If worship is primarily a time set aside to praise God, well, who is this God? What's he like? How should we approach him? Are there any examples in the Bible of God making himself known to mere mortals? And how did those men react? Obviously, one thinks of, say, the burning bush or Isaiah 6 right off the bat. what are the most important characteristics of God that would dictate the way that we might approach him? If we all agree that our primary mission is to be a disciple of Jesus and to make Jesus, you know, disciples of Christ, I mean, it's right there in Matthew 28:19, right? Well, what role does worship have in that? Or are those two totally separate things? Is worship this thing that we do for our private piety, and discipleship is the thing that we do for, I don't know, our public exposure or to bring people into the faith? Or are these two things actually interconnected in some kind of deep, beautiful, profound way? So in sum, these are the kind of questions I think we need to be asking in the church. But the question we usually end up asking is, what can we do to stem the crippling loss of members that we are experiencing at the moment? Right? How can we reach and attract more people into our group? And if we're kind of stuck on these kind of superficial questions, we're going to keep getting really superficial answers. And I think that's where we're at. So I'm at the point now where I think the church needs to just reevaluate things. I think we've got enough data on the worship wars in to where I don't know. I think it's safe to say that it maybe hasn't accomplished all that everyone thought it would accomplish, has. So anyway, I don't know if you want to respond to any of that, or you want me to just keep going or what?
Well, I'd like to give perhaps a caveat and see if you agree or disagree with it. Sometimes when we have in the church discussions like this, comparing and contrasting the idea of traditional versus contemporary worship, we have to recognize, or at least should consider, that there are modern Christian hymn writers, songwriters, recording artists who sing and record their music in a way, in a manner, and in a style that is very much reflective of the hymnody of the past. The Gettys, for instance, I think have created some breathtaking music that very often at the church where I'm a member, Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, we have a very traditional worship service, primarily using hymns from the Trinity Hymnal, and also using a psalter that we have. Every pew has a psalter. But in the bulletin, they typically, at least a couple of times a month, will include a contemporary song, but when sung, it just sounds like a hymn of the past, where there is much biblical faithfulness and integrity in the lyrics. The lyrics are biblically rich. They are not fluff. They are not man-centered. So don't we have to be hesitant to just throw around this idea that contemporary equals heretical or fluff or bubblegum or garbage?
Absolutely. And I'm really glad you said that. There are some wonderful writers out there. One of the benefits of older stuff is that it's kind of gone through the filter of time. So we're kind of left with the greatest hits of the church, whereas we're still trying to figure out what the greatest hits of the 2010s are. One of my concerns with the modern, with the CCM movement, though, is that not many people are doing that kind of theological. There's just not enough people doing the theological reflection on the music. I mean, the two biggest producers of CCM are Bethel and Hillsong, both of which are church bodies that are plagued with, scandal, and I would say some pretty rotten theology that really is in contrast to Orthodox Christianity. But yes, just because it's new doesn't mean it's bad, because everything that we like that's old, was once new. Even if it's a, fourth century hymn, like Of the Father's Love Begotten or something like that. Yes, at one point it was new. So it being right. Old doesn't make it good. Being new doesn't make it bad. I think what I would want is for the church to have the tools to evaluate, right, to do discernment, to kind of think this through. And so I think as we talk through it, it'll be clear that I don't have or I don't advocate too simple of an approach. But basically, it's to give us tools to evaluate and kind of consider the purpose of it.
You also brought up a good point that not everything old is good. And of course, old is a relative term. And please, my fundamentalist Baptist friends, my independent fundamentalist Baptist friends, do not take this as a broad brushing insult. But very often when folks from that group of the church will use phraseology like that old time religion and things that they cherish that they think are old are, you know, mid to late 19th century, early 20th century contributions to the church that are not old when you compare them to things that are truly ancient in the church in the grand scheme of things. And I have been at some fundamentalist churches where some of the songs they sing, and remember, I'm not broad brushing, I'm not saying every fundamentalist church, but some of the songs they sing, even though they're almost 100 years old, perhaps a little over 100 years old, they sound silly. They almost sound like something from a burlesque review, except they're using Christian phraseology, and it's, you know, some of it is just basically reduced to the absolute minimal level of depth of anything that is a biblical concept. Am I making sense here?
Absolutely. And, you know, and a lot of the problem with the contemporary stuff, I mean, if you really want to get into this, you know, you can look at the influence of like literary deconstruction. You know, it's made its way into the church, right? Where, you know, we are often living through music that is evocative, but not necessarily, you know, I shouldn't say meaningful. It's not clear in what its meaning is. You know, the Lord has given us this thing called, you know, language and, you know, logic and rules of language and logic. And great poets will use those rules to, maybe stretch language, but to convey very particular meanings that cannot be gone beyond the words on the page. But a lot of what contemporary Christian music is, and obviously this goes for, you know, contemporary music generally, and contemporary poetry, and probably, you know, texting, you know, in a lot of the ways we communicate, they're not complete sentences. They're not complete thoughts. They're not bound by the rules of grammar. They're snapshots of images. You know, it's one image after another. It's evocative language, but it's not arguing for anything. Whereas if I, you know, pick up this hymn, I'm going to get four stanzas of beautiful English. Perhaps that's a translation, but still, you know, where there are periods and maybe there are semicolons and exclamation points and maybe it even rhymes or whatever the case may be. So I actually think, you know, actually what we want to argue for, even if it's contemporary, is just good grammar, you know, because we want to convey, and this really gets back to the big question here, the big picture here, which is what are we trying to do in worship? Are we trying to give people warm fuzzies? Okay, are we trying to evoke emotions from people, and this would be kind of my thesis statement, right, which is that worship is part of the formative process of discipleship, okay? So worship is part of part of that process that we go through to grow as disciples of Christ. Now, if that's the case, then that informs how you ought to worship, and it definitely does not rule out new music at all. So long as that new music is part of that process. But if worship is meant to attract an audience, entertain people, bring them to tears, make them feel exuberant or joyous, now you have to question, yeah, well, obviously that's going to change the techniques that you employ, but I think you, at that point, you have to question if it's even Christian worship at that point. So, So I put it this way, you know, in sports, a good coach will say, you know, how you practice, so you play. Well, in many respects, I think our time in worship, it's like our practice. You know, it's like we're learning the best. We're learning the forms. We're doing the drills, right? We're being taught. And so then we play Monday through Saturday. Not that you have to worship on Sunday per se. I understand people can't blah, blah, blah. But, you know, so worship is kind of like our practice time. It's our time of coaching. It's the time we are formed as disciples. And then Monday through Saturday is that time that we go out as disciples. So to be clear, I am putting these things together, whereas I think what often happens is they're pulled apart. Discipleship is your your enthusiasm for Jesus that you do outside of the week, and worship is your time to, you know, well, sometimes just basically be entertained. But those are two contrary views of worship that are, I would argue, incompatible. But let me give a couple of examples of how we think about this that I think is wrong compared to how other people think about discipleship in their own trades, which is very different. So, Chris, you and I would both agree that Christianity is kind of a serious pursuit, right? We might even say life or death pursuit, you know, something of eternal consequence. So it's quite serious, okay? Christianity is quite a serious thing. Well, think about other disciplines that are maybe not that serious, but, pretty serious. Things like medicine or law or being an airline pilot or industrial production or steel making for our Pennsylvania friends or, competitive athletics or musical performance. All of those fields require an intense amount of preparation, discipline, practice, rehearsal before one is able to do those sorts of things. So, for example, if you are on the operating table and a doctor has a scalpel on his hand, he's about to cut you open, they're about to put the anesthesia on you, what you don't want that doctor to say is, well, I am so excited about this surgery, I failed every one of my classes. I didn't learn anything in med school. I have no idea why they successfully graduated me. But let me tell you, I am so excited about this heart surgery today. I have just never been more thrilled to perform surgery. I'm guessing as a patient, that would kind of freak you out, right?
I believe it would. I'd be freaked out even if it was the most brilliant surgeon in the world. But on top of that,
exactly,
that would be a real bone chiller.
Exactly. So imagine, okay, we could do this all day, right? But let's say you're on an airplane and the same thing, you know, the pilot gets on, well, good day. We're flying to Dallas today. Weather should be nice. I'm just so excited to be in the cockpit today. I've never flown this plane before. And I crashed it a couple times in the simulator, but hey, I am so excited. I sometimes get the impression that Christians believe discipleship is nothing but enthusiasm for Jesus and not the, it's not worthy enough to actually go through a process of formality by which we are formed, right? Or maybe I'm saying it incorrectly. But basically, if worship is a time for our formation and discipleship is being formed, well, then I think we ought to take it seriously. Now, I'm not saying that worship is the only tool of discipleship by any means. I mean, we also need to do Bible study. We need to do private Bible study. We need to, have moral accountability to one another. Our stewardship is a part of our discipleship. So it's a fully orbed thing, but it's definitely there. And so, if you look at, Jesus and what people called Jesus, they called him a teacher. They called him rabbi. They also called him master. They called him Lord. And so being a disciple, I mean, the word literally means student, right? We get the word discipline from it, for example. I don't think it's radical at all to suggest that to be a disciple of Jesus should be something of a formal process. It's not to say it's not going to be without its extraordinary moments, moments of answered prayer, moments of jubilation, moments of bittersweet sorrow, maybe, as you leave an old life behind and take on a new life of Christ, moments of joy when children are born or when people come to faith or people are healed, et cetera. So there are definitely moments in the life of a Christian that are exuberant, that are joyful, where we're very enthusiastic. But if discipleship is only seen as this kind of emotional or enthusiastic reality, it's likely to be short-lived. And I seem to remember Jesus telling a parable about a seed that is thrown on different types of soil. And some of that seed springs up quite quickly. There's a lot of excitement that the seed possesses to be alive and to grow, but it's not in good soil. It's in rocky soil. It doesn't have any ability to have depth. And so it quickly dies off. Like anything else meaningful in life, heart surgery, being an airline pilot, being a mother, virtually anything you can think of meaningful is going to have, there's a learning process, there are things that we need to know, there's often a very formal process involved, And so why is it that the American Christian Church is so quick to throw off formal processes by which we become an informed and enthusiastic disciple of Christ? And I think basically it's because we just don't have the patience for it anymore, right? We just want to jump straight to the excitement. And if we can keep people at that level forever, then they'll stay a disciple of Jesus. But they're not going to stay there at that level. And so I think that what we need is where exuberance in our walk with Christ is probably the exception to the rule. But in a lot of the American evangelical church where, you know, CCM wholesale has been adopted, and again, it's hard to pull apart sometimes CCM from like the bad theology of the attractional model, the church growth movement, it's, you know, charismatic movement, et cetera. I grant that. But a lot of what you see is that exuberance is the rule, right? It's not the exception. So that's essentially the fight, right? That is the worship war. I'm fighting for an understanding of Christianity and discipleship that understands that it's a more formalized process like anything else important in life, which is certainly, I think, the model you see in the New Testament, over against a church culture that seems to be making it all about how we feel today. And that's a little bit too simplistic of a critique, I understand, but hey, got to start somewhere. So any thoughts, or, you know, I'll just keep ranting and raving if you're not careful. So
Yeah, so I just don't know if I am necessarily as far to the right on this in regard to if you would consider right being or the right wing being traditional and the left wing being contemporary. I don't know if there is something inherently unworshipful about more contemporary melodies that were not perhaps known to the church in decades and centuries past. I believe that one of the keys to determine that is if the melody, rhythm, instrumentation becomes dominant, makes a song less of a congregational song. There are certainly some songs that were designed to be sung and quote performed by an individual or by by a duet or a trio rather than an entire congregation. And there is also clearly, even though there are some who say that melodies are morally and theologically neutral. I don't buy that because as the author of he wrote the book Why Johnny Can't Preach, and he also wrote the book Why Johnny Can't Sing Hymns, I think. And he demonstrated that there is a fallacy with this defense that all musical instrumentality and melodies are neutral. He said, just imagine that at a solemn occasion like a funeral of a loved one, there is an individual who breaks out a kazoo and starts playing something on the kazoo. You would likely be outraged by that, unless, of course, the dearly departed loved one was a lover of kazoos. You would likely want to bring an abrupt halt to that performance. But anyway, we have to go to our midway break right now, and we'll pick up where we left off there. If anybody has a question, Okay. Excuse me?
I just said, okay.
Okay. If anybody has a question for Pastor Evan, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Evan McClanahan after these messages.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic,
Is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ Church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church of Lyndale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Romaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And this is another reminder, folks. Please, if you have never purchased books from solid-ground-books.com, or even if you're a regular customer, I'm pleading with you to go to that website today, solid-ground-books.com, and purchase as large an order as possible. They are going through a sales slump in books. And that may eventually affect Iron Sharpens Iron Radio because they are a primary sponsor of this program. And if they are hurting financially, they may have to wind up eventually postponing further advertising. And that will hurt us. So please go to solid-ground-books.com and purchase as generously as possible. Keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they publish nothing but the very finest in Christian literature that they bring back into print from the as far back as the 16th century Protestant Reformation, or that they publish for the first time, including new books by such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com today, purchase generously, and mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest today, Pastor Evan McClanahan of First Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, and our discussion on the worship wars. I just have some very important announcements to make. Folks, if you really love this show, we really need your financial help. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you've never given to us before and yet love this program, perhaps you've been listening to it for years and have been very blessed by it but never have given to it, please consider prayerfully for the first time giving to us, as we are in more need of your donations than ever before. Perhaps you're a regular donor and you can afford to give a little bit more. As much as we appreciate what you've already given, we really need your help, because ever since COVID and the unconstitutional, tyrannical mandates that both federal and local governments have imposed upon the citizens of this country and other countries, I don't know if it's a coincidence, but our giving plummeted and it never bounced back. We could typically depend upon, in the past, an average of 20 donations a month, and some of them fairly large. Now we're lucky if we get five, and excuse me for the term lucky. But please help us if you really love the show and don't want it to disappear. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what we believe, you want to advertise your church, your business, your parachurch ministry, your professional private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, or just a special event, whatever it is, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. Also, I always want to remind my listeners, as much as I am urgently requesting donations and as much of a feeling of desperation and anxiety I may be going through over our finances right now, I never want anybody listening to give less money than you're accustomed to giving to your own local church in order to bless us financially. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is clear that our funds, our finances, are to be primarily used to bless the church where we are a member and to provide for our family. Providing for this radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, then please, if you love the show, share some of that money with us if you want us to continue to exist. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. Also, I want to remind you about the three-day Bible conference coming up right here in Pennsylvania, in Lancaster County, to be more specific, and even more specifically in Mannheim, Pennsylvania. Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be our keynote speaker for a three-day conference being hosted by Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society on the theme, The Gospel at War. That's Friday, September 15th through Sunday, September 17th. And on one of those 3 days, Saturday, September 16th, there will be a debate between Dr. White and Dr. Gregory Coles on the theme, Is Gay Christian a Biblically Acceptable Identity for a Member of Christ's Church? Dr. Gregory Coles, who is Dr. White's opponent in this debate, does identify as a gay Christian. So if you want to get the best price possible on registering for this three-day event, please go to futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org. Also, if you are a man in ministry leadership, I hope that you will attend my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastor's luncheon at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania on Thursday, October 5th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Not only will you be fed for free and hear an excellent message for free, and enjoy the fellowship of other men in ministry for free, every man in attendance will leave that place with a heavy sack of brand new books, personally selected by me, donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. Our guest speaker this October is Jeff Noblet, a really powerful, powerful preacher of the gospel who is pastor of Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. So that's Thursday, October 5th. If you'd like to register, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Also, last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid, Christ-honoring church like First Lutheran Church of Houston, Texas, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I can help you find a church, possibly, no matter where you live in the world. I've helped many people all over the globe find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live, and that may be you too if you are without a church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question for Pastor Eric McClanahan. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We're discussing worship wars. And right before the break, I was saying, and perhaps you will agree or disagree with me, that we even have to be leery or hesitant of outright condemning all worship music that to our ears is definitely utilizing a modern melody, a melody that's unfamiliar to us, that would likely be totally unfamiliar to Christians of decades past and centuries past, just automatically writing it off. And I think that some of the litmus tests are, is if the music riles up the hearers into a state of sexual arousal, because even the nearly every time you ever hear a famous legendary rock performer, a musician or singer, they will tell you that the very intention of rock and roll is to sexually arouse people. And that is not even necessarily just involving the lyrics. There are sounds that definitely evoke different moods. There are sounds that evoke serious contemplation and meditation. There are sounds that evoke violence or violent thinking. There are sounds that evoke frivolity and hilarity and silliness. And there are also sounds that may be conducive to worship that are even modern. So do you agree with me that we have to be hesitant to just immediately stamp with a reject stamp music that may be modern just because it's modern?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, we've got to discern, you know, it's all aesthetics. It's not just the music. I mean, it's the lighting, right? It's the arrangement of the congregation to those preaching or leading worship. So yes, it's not just the style. Let me go a little bit further, because I think it'll help us kind of pull that apart and kind of maybe ask some of the right questions. But I do want to throw one more thing out there that I think speaks to that, which is that in our discipleship of Christ, and part of what I think the church is trying to do, well, it's to pull us into a way of life, a form of life that is different from the world, right? I mean, the ecclesia, that word itself really means the called out ones. So the church is literally people called out from the world in obedience to Christ. So in our hearts and minds and souls, we are set apart, right? We are set aside, literally pulled out of the world. So if we have, and I think this will help answer the question, if we have morals and virtues and a way of life, you know, and commitments and even financial strategies that are going to be different from the world, well, then shouldn't our worship be a little bit strange? So it's not just the form. It's I think the content of the form, but I think some forms probably should be off limits. So, you know, for me, I, You know, and this is kind of an old argument, but that a trap set, like a drum set, you know, should not be used in worship because it utilizes the backbeat. I don't know if that's kind of part of what you're talking about, but the backbeat has a kind of groove to it that is arguably some, you know, some make the case kind of sexual in nature. I don't know if I would go that far. I just think it's probably an inappropriate instrument for worship. Now, are all drums inappropriate for worship? Not at all. I think many drums are native to particular cultures and absolutely should be used in worship. You know, we used to have folk music at one of our services. So I think that, you know, they would sing Hank Williams songs. Well, I think some of those old gospel songs are perfectly fine. You know, I would argue that we should probably use acoustic music, though, rather than electronic music. I think that's a form that would be worth considering. You know, we have a pipe organ instead of an electric organ. If you can afford it, I think it'd be better to have a smaller pipe organ than a larger electric organ with, you know, more diverse sounds, et cetera. But it's, I think there's even a difference in sound that comes out of a speaker versus comes out of a pipe. There's a way it feels in the room. There's a way that it encourages and invites singing. After all, an organ and a pipe organ and a human voice make their sound in many, much of the same way. What I would say is that there are many forms, there are many things that good, authentic worship could look like. It doesn't have to look like what we call the Western Rite, right? It doesn't have to be Bach music. It doesn't have to be what's in my hymnal. I mean, there's authentic Orthodox worship happening all over the world. But here's what I would like to do. I would like to lay out what I would consider to be kind of the minimum you would need in a worship service for it to be, for it to accomplish what I've talked about, those things that worship ought to accomplish, being a form of our, you know, discipleship, like, or being a formative process of our discipleship, calling us out from the world. So let me give you this list real fast, Chris, and you can tell me if you think some of these things are, you know, maybe my list is too long, maybe it's too short, but here we go. I'm going to try to go fast. Things our worship service should include pretty much, if not every week, most weeks. I would say confessing our sins. You know, Psalm 32, Psalm 51, kind of the classic confession of sin psalms. I would say the singing of psalms and hymns, right? Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 would speak to that. Offering praise and worship of God. I hope that's quite obvious, but, you know, you look at something like Revelation 5 or Thomas, you know, Luke 24, my Lord and my God, pray. You know, there's worship and praise of God all over the Bible. Even people who do contemporary worship agree with that. Praying for those who are in power and for those who are sick. You know, 1 Timothy 2 and James 5 speaks of the need for that kind of prayer. We call it intercessory prayer, intercessions in our liturgical tradition. Preaching, again, I think everyone would agree that preaching ought to be a part of our gathering. I would say celebrating the Lord's Supper, you know, do this in remembrance of me. I think you could basically understand that to be whenever you guys get together and talk about me, I want you to do this as well. So, of course, Lutherans are sacramental. We have a high view of the Lord's Supper. So that's a difference between us. There's a wide range, I think, probably in, you know, Baptist circles as to how often and what you think of the Lord's Supper. I don't want to debate all that. But I think that generally speaking, celebrating the Lord's Supper would be a part of worship. Taking up an offering. No one wants to argue with that, right? So that's probably be part of your worship service. Receiving a benediction. Number six, right? The end of Paul's letters are pretty much all have a benediction. Sharing the peace of Christ, right? As Paul did in his letters once again. Jesus describes us as blessed are the peacemakers. So we want to have a time in our worship service where we're saying to one another, the peace of the living Christ be with you. Right, not just like, hey, are you going to see the Cubs game later this afternoon, right? But actually, we're sharing that peace. And then, of course, the famous, you know, passage Acts 2:42, you know, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So a lot of what I said is captured in that. So anything on that list that, you know, maybe something I should add to that list or something that I could take off, you know?
Well, to start with, something to add to the list, I was distracted just very quickly. I heard most of what you said. I was distracted by an email that came in. But did you mention the reading of Scripture?
You know, I must have assumed the reading of Scripture. So, yeah, I need to make that more explicit. But yes, like in our service, we read four lessons, you know, an Old Testament, a Gospel, a New Testament, and a Psalm. So I assumed too much there, didn't I?
And of course, the sermon itself.
Yeah, preaching. I've got preaching on the
list. Okay,
yep.
And one caveat I have is the confession of sin. I believe, mm-hmm. I believe that because this truth has been abused, I even was alerted to a very tragic fact by a number of unconnected people who warned me about a certain church, even though it professes to believe strongly in the doctrines of sovereign grace, Reformed theology, Calvinism. They took this idea, this biblical idea of confession of sin, public confession of sin, to not only an unbiblical extreme, but a wicked extreme. They even had young women get up to the podium to confess their sexual sins. In detail.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And I was not only outraged, but disgusted because I immediately thought, as many people likely will, that there are men in leadership of the church that insisted upon this that were probably unfortunately getting off on that.
Yeah.
That's to me is pretty sick. So I think that when it comes to the confession of sin, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you, in our hymnal, what we do is there's a corporate rite of confession and forgiveness where we all say the same thing at the same time, which is very, you know, fairly generic but biblical. You know, I confess I'm in bondage to sin and cannot free myself. I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what I've done, by what I've left undone, etc. And the pastor offers what I'd call a passive word of forgiveness, right, where he declares them forgiveness. He declares forgiveness unto them, in essence. I always do that at the baptism. And technically, it's really done before the service starts. That's kind of how we do it. It's the start of the service, but technically, it's a separate rite. And I'm not opposed to private confession as well, but obviously, confession for us is not a sacrament. Even though Lutherans are sacramental, we got rid of that as a sacrament itself. So, but you know, I do think there's a practical benefit to there being a time where we say we are sinners and we sin and we need forgiveness. And I think of I say this to newlyweds, you know, or couples who want a marriage in the church, but you know, I maybe for whatever reason they haven't been to church in a while, and I want them to go back. And I say, hey, guess what, guys? When you guys get married, you're going to sin against one another. And if you look at many of these elements of the liturgy that I just listed, it's going to be hard to go to church on a regular basis with your family, who you're going to sin against and who's going to sin against you, and not be reconciled if you have any integrity at all, right? Because you're going to admit that you're a sinner, that you need forgiveness. You're going to share the peace of Christ. How awkward would that be if you're holding a grudge, right? You're going to defame Christ right there in your own household if you don't acknowledge, if you don't want to share the peace with others. And then you're going to receive the Lord's Supper. All of these things are things that bring people together, that bring about reconciliation, that bring about peace and harmony. And so my argument isn't that it needs to be super formal and that you chant, you know, Renaissance music or something like that, although it could be argued that Renaissance, you know, the Baroque era has lovely music, and it's worth hearing from time to time. But it's that these are kind of the sine qua nons, I guess, you know, the absolute, the bare essentials of Christian worship. That's really my argument. And so that can be done with guitars, that can be done with pan flutes, that can be done with, you know, African drums. But I would say, even if I were a Christian missionary and I were going into parts of the world as a missionary and I was bringing the gospel to new parts of the people and I were putting a worship service together, it would include some, you know, those elements, because I think those elements have practical value, and I think they help us form as disciples. So, and by the way, you know, I do think there is a danger to the charismatic leader, right? You know, we've seen failure after failure after failure of these charismatic men that build up these churches who have these incredible followings. But they're not, you know, they're not forming people as disciples. You know, they're attracting crowds, But when the time comes to say the truth, they either don't do it or they have a tremendous moral failing. So that I'm not interested in that either, right? So, I do think, though, that, you know, as I mentioned before, it's not just the music. It's also, you know, the space, the architecture. Not that that's an end-all be-all, but it can be helpful. It can be useful. Even if you don't have a lot of money, you can do a lot of smart things with space. I think the fact that churches are now basically gigantic boxes with theatrical lighting and stages, I'm not a fan. You know, for the same amount of money, you could do something that lets in natural light. I think there's a benefit to that sort of thing. So that's kind of those are kind of my argument is that traditional worship, so to speak, preserves those things well. But again, these words actually are not even helpful. Just because something is old doesn't mean it's good. And traditional worship, in a sense, is also contemporary. The gospel's contemporary in a sense that it's of the times. I mean, do people still need to hear the gospel? Well, yes. Then the gospel is contemporary. So I'm not necessarily interested in playing off, you know, the band against the organ per se. What I want people to do is think about what is facilitating a mature, authentic walk with Jesus Christ. What is building that? What is feeding that? And so ultimately, I think that there are aspects of worship that must do that and do that better than others.
Well, we have a listener in South Central Pennsylvania, Joseph, who said, "If I heard correctly, you were speaking before advocating the use of native drum music. Can that not be dangerous if this kind of music conjures up the pagan lifestyle and ritual of the tribes before Christianity had conquered their lives?"
That's a great question, and I'm speaking in huge generalities. What I'm saying is that, and by the way, yes, it could. If that drum was used to summon, you know, what we would consider to be demons, then the missionary, understanding this, would say that is not something we're going to use in our worship. By that token, you could say, does modern rock music conjure demons, like you said earlier, Chris? It's a question of discernment. There are some cultural artifacts that are, I think, safe to say neutral. I mean, I'm a presuppositionalist, so I understand there's no actual no ultimate neutrality. But I think that there are some cultural instruments, if you will, using that term as broadly as possible, that are relatively neutral that can be used in worship. I mean, I think the acoustic guitar can be used in worship. Also, though, I think it's a little bit lame if Westerners, say, want to incorporate non-native drums into their worship. You know, so I'm not a fan of that. I'm a fan of folk music. So I think because folk music comes from the people, most of CCM is corporately produced and commercially produced and produced to make money. And so I generally have a pretty big distrust of music that isn't coming from the people organically, but is being produced for money. So I guess it would be a case by case basis. But yes, I would say that if any instrument has a tie to a pagan practice, then it ought not to be repurposed in Christian worship.
Yeah, I even recall that there was complaints coming out of the former Soviet Union from pastors who were dismayed. They were upset that American Christian rock was becoming popular over there because some of these people who were Christians were apparently tortured with heavy metal music being blared into their ears. In fact, we even saw some of that at in Waco, Texas, if you recall, the FBI was doing that to the Branch Davidians.
Yep.
This brings up another issue. I love some Christian rock. I love Skillet, John Cooper's group.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not want that in a worship service. I think that there is a liberty for Christians to enjoy music on their own that would be inappropriate for a worship service. Now, when I say inappropriate for worship service, I'm not saying that Christians have the liberty to listen to sexualized, perverse music or music that promotes violence or music that promotes greed. And that pretty much covered 99% of the rap music, although there are brilliant and gifted reformed Christian rappers whose lyrics are rich with theology. As much as I even love that, I wouldn't want it happening in a worship service. But don't you think that that's a proper delineation that that Christians can have?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, these are important distinctions to make. And, you know, what is it that we're – that's why, you know, the question is what are we trying to accomplish in worship? But outside of worship, you know, I'm not one of these people that says, well, every, you know, 24/7 is worship. Well, in a manner of speaking, I mean, how well you milk the cow could be seen as an act of worship because you're thankful to God for the provision of the cow and the milk or something like that. But it's okay to have formalized times for the congregation to worship. And yes, I think that if you want to listen to devotional music or, you know, have a Christian rock band or, I don't know, a rapper, it's not my thing, but, you know, if they want to spread the gospel in that way through that medium, okay, cool. Maybe that's a good thing. But yes, I think that there are distinctions in worship and in non-worship settings.
We have Cindy in Findlay, Ohio, who asks, are the debates that you are promoting with Dr. James R. White going to be live streamed?
Yes, they should be live streamed, providing the technology works, and they'll be recorded and uploaded to YouTube anyway. So, yes, fingers crossed, because crazy things happen, but I am open to live streaming them. And I think, yes, I'll just say yes. Yeah.
We are going to our final break. If anybody would like to send in a question, I urge you to do it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back with Evan McClanahan right after these messages from our sponsors.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War. September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd The G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Thank you. Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s. And what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please make note of the new website for Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey. It is gcbc-nj.org. gcbc-nj.org. So ignore the website that you heard in the commercial. I also wanted to remind you that those of you who hear this program every day know that one of our major sponsors is the Historical Bible Society. Please don't forget that that organization was founded by Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, a serious injury and medical malpractice attorney. So if you or someone that you know and love is the victim of a serious injury or medical malpractice, no matter what state in the 50 states of the United States they live in, please call Dan Buttafuoco at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please always mention Chris Arnz and Divine Trump and Zion Radio. We're now back with Evan McClanahan, and I wanted to make a couple of notes about things I was saying before the break. People who listen to the show will note that I love rock music because very often my commercials are accompanied by rock music or have a rock music performance as a music bed, as they call it, or as in the case with the G3 conference ad, a jazz fusion background performed by the late Larry Coryell and the late Alphonse Mouzon, who created that song that I love, Back Together Again. But as much as I love it, I don't want it in a worship service. So, and the last thing I wanted to say is I'm wondering if you would agree with me that I don't believe there is anything at all wrong with a church that does not use that kind of music in a worship service to have concerts and things like that that do utilize that.
Yeah, I think there are different kinds of events that churches host. I mean, I host debates in our sanctuary. You know, that's where we normally have worship services for believers, but I've had atheists in there railing against God because I think there's an overwhelming good, right, where we're arguing for the truth. We're using that space as a forum to argue for the truth, and hopefully my debater is better than the other guy. So, yes, there are definitely different mediums and different events and that sort of thing that can take place in a worship space.
Hey, wait a minute. You don't want mediums in the church, do you?
I should have said media. As I said, I thought, wait, the plural of medium is media. So, yes. No mediums. Although, yeah, you know, actually the communion rails kind of act in some ways as medians, I guess. But anyway, that's a whole other thing.
Well, I'd like you to.
But let me.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I just wanted you to summarize.
Conclude with a couple of questions.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, really, the summary is a few questions, which is, okay, well, what's the state of Christianity today? I think everyone in America knows what the state of Christianity in America, you know, they know what it is. I don't know if, conservative or contemporary Christian music sped up the decline of American Christianity or it slowed it down. There's no way that we can really know, but I do know that Christianity is supposed to be a countercultural movement that doesn't look like the world, and Christians are supposed to be pulled out from the world. So here's my basic question, which is, if we end up looking like the world, what do we expect the response from the world to be, right? If we're not offering something different, not only in terms of our substance, but also our forms, I don't think we should be terribly surprised when the world says, well, they have really nothing to offer. And there's also some anecdotal evidence, I think, that, young people are attracted to Eastern Orthodoxy and Roman Catholicism and even the Latin Mass versions of Roman Catholicism, in part because I think they're looking for some truth and substance and something different. They don't want the same old drivel.
Yeah, they know that the world is doing that kind of music better than the churches utilize.
Exactly. We're always going to be a second-tier version of it. And last thought, if you don't think that there's a lot of competition in the contemporary Christian kind of movement, well, I think you're sadly mistaken. I think that's what happens in a lot of these churches. They really look down on more traditional churches. You know, we're old-fashioned, we're fuddy-duddies or whatever. And a lot of these churches end up in competition, pulling people out of traditional churches for the cool hip thing. That's not the mission of the church. The mission of the church shouldn't be to, just sheep steal, right? If we really do want to reach people, then do so, fine. But when people leave churches that are called boring because they don't want to be associated with that anymore, I think it becomes a problem. So anyway, there's a lot more to talk about, but hopefully we've hit some highlights and given some people something to think about.
And I want to remind our listeners about the website of First Lutheran Church of Houston, Texas, where my guest is the pastor, flhouston.org, flhouston.org. Thank you so much for being, once again, such a superb guest. I look forward to your return to the program on the 31st of August, which is a Thursday. And I want to thank our listeners for listening and submitting questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.